Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to another PC Boys podcast. So, for those of you that are tuning in on YouTube, this is our very first YouTube podcast that we are doing here on the main channel. And this is also being recorded also on audio. So, if you are not watching this on YouTube, the audio version of this podcast will be available as well. Anywhere podcasts are found, Spotify, Apple, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, Audible, wherever you like to listen, this is now available. And from here on out, we will be doing the main podcast both on YouTube and on audio. So we'll be covering both those bases as well. The link tree will be in the description of both the digital version of this podcast and the YouTube version. So that way you guys can go to our socials. Mainly Instagram and Twitter is what we use. And that is where we post updates on whenever we upload new podcasts or stuff, maybe movie posters and stuff like that once in a while. But ultimately, it's like the first place to be whenever we upload. And then you can also join the Discord, be a part of the community, and if you are into my Rumble content, that as well will be available for you guys to be able to watch if you're into, you know, politics or just commentary on the world and stuff going on and me giving my takes on stuff. But today, we are going to be talking about the major crisis at Marvel right now. We're going to be covering the Jonathan Majors backup plans, the Marvel reshoots, and a lot of other problems that have been going on at Marvel. Now, this article is by Variety, and I will also have that linked in the description down below as well, for those of you guys that want to check it out. But I've been talking about this for a long time, and also a lot of other commentators have been talking about how the MCU is not what it used to be, and after Endgame, obviously, the MCU took a huge nosedive, and it seems like the MCU is in a worse spot than we all thought. Recently, I talked about it here on the podcast, and everybody else has been talking about the fact that Daredevil Born Again basically had no Daredevil, and he didn't even show up in suit until like episode 4. So there is a lot right now going on at Marvel. But that was like our first major hints. The Marvels right now is not projected to be doing very well. And it comes out, I believe, in like a week or two. I'm not gonna watch it. I haven't even watched Guardians 3. I've been so checked out of MCU content because of how bad it's been that I'm really waiting for Marvel to steer the ship before I get back on board. I just haven't had any interest to watch what they've been putting out, because from what I've been hearing, it's been pretty hot garbage. So, when it comes to this article talking about Jonathan Majors and stuff, they are mainly talking about replacing Kang with Doctor Doom. Now, I think this is so stupid. Number one, you've been building up Kang this whole entire time, and obviously this comes because of Jonathan Majors' lawsuit that he's currently under for, like, sexual assault allegations and whatnot. So they're thinking about having a potential backup plan, and one of those major prominent ones is, of course, having them scrap Kang and, well, ending his character and then replacing him with Doctor Doom. Here's the problem. You haven't even introduced the Fantastic Four yet into this universe, okay, into the main MCU. How in the fuck are you gonna take Doctor Doom and put him in there when we haven't even established a canon MCU Fantastic Four team? To me, it seems really ridiculous, and it seems really stupid. So personally, I'm not on board with this idea whatsoever, because in my personal opinion, I think if you're gonna do Doctor Doom, you need to do him right, you need to set up the Fantastic Four first before you even go after doing Doctor Doom. We haven't even gotten the X-Men, for fuck's sake, and you want to pull Doom out of thin air? And according to Marvel, they're like, oh, but we got plenty of time to steer the ship and do Doom. No, you don't. How are you going to do Doom without the Fantastic Four? In my personal opinion, I don't think it would be a smart idea to do that, and I don't know how you'd be able to do that. Unless you try to say, like, he's an alternate universe version of Doctor Doom that isn't from the MCU, then I guess you could do it that way, but that's kind of cheap. And not to mention, I don't think a lot of people would buy into that, and a lot of people that are just MCU fans and aren't, you know, exactly accustomed to, like, the older movies and stuff would be like, who the fuck's this guy? Like, how did he get here? Because there's a difference between the diehard MCU comic fan and just a casual MCU fan, there's a huge difference in the knowledge that each have, right? Someone like me obviously knows the ins and outs of, like, Marvel Studios, you know, the comics, you know, Sony and their Spider-Man stuff that they're doing, and the Fox acquisition with Disney back a few years ago and stuff. Like, I'm all in on this stuff. I know what's going on. But when it comes to the average person, they're going to be very confused as to what the fuck's going on. So I think replacing Jonathan Majors with Doctor Doom right now would be a very stupid idea. Some people might say otherwise, but I just don't see how you would make it work. I mean, outside of making it a variant or a version from a different universe that isn't a part of the MCU, because we don't even have the Fantastic Four yet. To me, it just makes no sense. There's also a lot of talks right now currently about Blade and what they were going to do with Blade. So apparently the Blade movie, you know, prior to this had a script where they essentially made Blade a fourth character in the movie, like fourth supporting character or something like that, or fourth main character, and it was going to be female led. And I'm like, what? You mean to tell me you build up Blade and Mahershala Ali and then you make him a fourth important character to his own movie? That's ridiculous shit. This is another one of those situations where they're like, we're just going to make things diverse for the sake of making it diverse. Okay, we're going to replace, you know, Mahershala Ali, who's a great actor, and we're going to sideline him in his own movie. There's been so many talks about Blade's daughter being in the movie, like, back a few years ago and stuff. So they have to write that whole ship, or just stop Blade. Like, if you cannot get a good script for Blade, and you cannot do Blade properly, just scrap the project. We know Marvel's been scrapping a lot of projects now. I think they just scrapped, like, 10 more. And in my opinion, if you can't actually do something justice, stop. Don't put us through the misery of watching an adaptation of our, you know, one of our favorite characters or one that we really enjoy and suffer through the degradation of that character. I think it's ridiculous. And Marvel, it's not even just, you know, with Daredevil and with Blade and stuff. Like, this is with basically every character. There's talks right now that they don't want to do the Thunderbolts and that they want to scrap that, which, for those of you that don't know, there was news recently that the Thunderbolts were going to lead into Weapon X and the creation of, like, the X-Men and, like, MCU's Wolverine or something like that, which would be cool. I think it would be another driving force to watch that movie, but apparently there's something wrong with the movie where they're like, we don't want to put this out. Or are very hesitant, right? Like I said, a lot of turmoil going on in Marvel right now. There's even a lot of discussion about bringing back the old Avengers, which just screeches desperation, you know, the fact that you have to bring back dead Avengers to get people into the theaters to watch your movie. To me, that's really silly, and I think it's really stupid. You know what else I find to be more funny? The fact that Sony's Spider-Verse right now has more direction than the MCU. Like, I know that the Spider-Verse isn't as big, right? That franchise isn't as big as the MCU. But it's still one of those things where it's like, how are they more on track than you? Even the Sony spin-off movies like Venom, Morbius, and Kraven, I would dare say, have more direction than most MCU projects do today. And that's saying a lot. But as a fan of the MCU that is kind of just given up on it right now because of how bad the quality of everything is, to me, it's very clear that Marvel not only needs to change the way that they do their TV, Disney Plus stuff, but they maybe need to just stop their, like, they need to stop putting out product for, like, a year or two, get things on track, and then start releasing stuff again. Obviously, I don't think Disney would let that happen. They would probably be like, no, you gotta keep putting content out. But right now, they're in such a shithole. Like, they are in a hole right now. And the only way they're gonna get out of it is by writing good characters and good stories. And Marvel's been having a big problem with that. She-Hulk is a big example. The first Captain Marvel is a big example. And even with Agatha, apparently Agatha is supposed to be, like, a huge LGBTQ show, and I was listening to Grace from Beyond the Trailer, and she was explaining that, you know, you're alienating a huge audience by basically making it a strictly gay show. Which is true. If you were to make any movie or show out there and make it strictly for one group of people, you're eliminating a good, vast market for yourself. And that's just the truth when it comes to anything. When it comes to Marvel movies especially, right, you want to make a product that a lot of people want to watch and enjoy. And when you take people out of that market, because there's a lot of Marvel fans that will not be exactly happy with a just straight up LGBTQ show where they feel like a message is being forced down their throat. Rather than maybe having a character here and there that happens to be a part of the LGBTQ community, and it doesn't affect the story to such a degree, or the messaging doesn't affect things to a degree where people are like, this is like force feeding a narrative down my throat or whatever. So when we look at Marvel and we look at what they're, you know, trying to do with all these different projects and how they're in disarray in different ways, it's very clear to me that they need to take a breather and just rewrite these shows and movies and just make them solid stories, right? And I think everybody wants that at the end of the day. When it comes to, like, diversity and all that other stuff, okay, yeah, you need it in the industry, but you don't need it in such, like, strong, forceful ways that it literally makes part of your target audience or half your audience be like, ugh, I don't want to watch that. That feels like there's too much, you know, messaging going on. I talk about this all the time on the podcast. I like my video games and movies to be, you know, message-free, right? I like to just escape and get away from the real world that I live in. Unfortunately, when it comes to modern day anything for entertainment, escapism is dead. There's always messaging in some form. So you can never fully escape it. But when it comes to Agatha being a fully LGBTQ show, pretty much from what we've heard, I was like, yeah, that's going to turn a lot of people away from the show. It won't turn everybody away, obviously. Some people are going to love that. But there's going to be a good amount of people that are also like, okay, this is too much for me, right? You know, like, this seems kind of ham-fisted in a sense, rather than having, like, one or two characters, right? Like, America Chavez was a LGBTQ character in Doctor Strange Multiverse of Madness. You know how much that forced a narrative down your throat in that movie? It really didn't. It was there, but it, like, didn't affect the story. Granted, Multiverse of Madness was kind of a clusterfuck of a bunch of different things. Enjoyable, but not one of the best that the MCU has to offer. But then again, it didn't have a narrative it tried to drive down your throat. As to where with Agatha, to a lot of people, it's going to seem like that, right? And myself included, because I just want to watch a show for escapism. I'm not here to watch something to be preached to or to have, like, a message jammed down my throat. Like, I don't like that in any form. Even if it was conservative, right, you know, stuff, I still would be like, come on now. The only character I think that, you know, things like that can be done, like, for instance, Daredevil, he's a Catholic, but he's also the devil of Hell's Kitchen, so there's, like, a play on, like, you know, him being a Catholic, but also, like, having this dark side that isn't exactly, you know, what a Catholic would, you know, look at themselves as, or, like, doing things that Daredevil does, and, you know, he calls himself the devil, so it's kind of, like, funny. It's, like, an antithesis, and it's, like, a reversal of, like, how he is from Matt Murdock to Daredevil, but it works for the character. It's integral to the story, right? Is the main part I'm trying to get to. But when it comes to certain things, it's not integral to characters. They're just doing it to do it, right? But when it comes down to all these other projects and stuff, like even with Secret Invasion, you know, that show, I personally enjoyed it. I know a lot of people hated that show. I enjoyed most of Secret Invasion, not the ending. The ending of Secret Invasion was fucking terrible. And it literally, like, destroys any potential Avengers threat, because you made a character that has the powers of, let alone, Hulk, Thor, Thanos, you know, some of the strongest beings in the MCU, but she has everybody's powers, so Gaia is literally God in this show, like, literally. And I'm sitting here like, this ain't gonna work, like, the MCU is broken now, like, they gotta undo that somehow. But it's very hard to say where the MCU is going to go from here. Because if the MCU doesn't fix their stuff, nobody's going to be interested in it anymore. Or very few people. Even people like me, right? I own the Infinity Saga. Like, I own box sets. Like, almost $100 phase box sets, right? I got phase 1, phase 2, phase 3, and then phase 3 part 2, right? Box sets. Like, collector's edition shit of the MCU. And I own all the other movies too. I own Daredevil, seasons 1 and 2 on, hard copy physical media. Like, I love Marvel. Okay? And not just on the movie side of things. Like, I own all the original Raimi Spider-Mans, I own the Amazing Spider-Mans, I own, the X-Men, the Fantastic Four movies, you name it, right? Deadpool, Morbius, the Venoms, like I own all the stuff. I used to read the comics when I was a kid. That's how I was introduced to Marvel. It wasn't even the movies, it was the comics. And as somebody that loves Marvel to death, the stuff they've been putting out the past few years have been awful. I mean, outside of Spider-Man No Way Home, outside of Loki Season 1, outside of Moon Knight, in my opinion, because I did like it, and Werewolf by Night. Like, there are some acceptable quality of shows. I would say the most standout of all of those was Loki and Spider-Man No Way Home. But outside of that, like, I enjoyed Shang-Chi and stuff too. But for the most part, it's either okay or subpar for Marvel the past few years for me. And that's not good. And like I said, back in the day, I used to go to every Marvel movie in the theater. Or I'd get it on Redbox if I couldn't make it to the theater, right? And I would just watch every movie. Now, I don't even care. I haven't watched Guardians. I haven't started Loki Season 2. And when I say Guardians, I mean Guardians Volume 3. Haven't seen it. Haven't started Loki Season 2. And I'm not going to watch the Marvels when it comes out in the theaters. I just have no interest to watch the movie. So now we're at a point where with Marvel stuff, I just don't care to watch anymore. There are certain projects I look forward to, like Deadpool 3, obviously. I mean, who isn't looking forward to that one? Spider-Man 4, Daredevil, if they can, of course, write it well and redo it. Well, so there are some projects I still look forward to, but they're few and far between. And I'm just concerned with what Marvel's gonna do. That's ultimately where I'm at right now. It's just concerned where they're gonna go, how's everything gonna move forward. So for right now, I cannot sit here and say that I'm loving Marvel, because I'm not. I'm very disappointed with a lot of things. I watched the Five Nights at Freddy's movie the other day. That was great, it was made for the fans, and it's getting great reviews from the fans, and it's making a lot of money. It's doing well. And that's like an indie thing. And although that's like nothing on the levels of Marvel and whatnot, I've been branching out my movie taste and my movie, I guess you could say, what is the word I'm looking for? Basically, I'm branching out like what I'm watching, okay? Like, I used to just basically watch like Marvel slashers and stuff, and now I'm starting to like expand into other things I normally wouldn't watch because that's how bad entertainment has gotten, where I gotta expand beyond the things that I normally would enjoy. I've been watching a lot more DC, mainly like the older Batmans, The Batman, obviously. Blue Beetle, I watched. That was a good movie as well. It was pretty solid. As well as stuff like that. I've been watching more comedy movies recently because I need to, try something different, like I said. But I have to expand what I'm watching movie-wise because all the stuff they're coming out right now is pretty much hot garbage from Marvel for the most part. And it sucks because I used to love Marvel. I used to line up and get my ticket and be excited about every project they had, and now they're in such shambles that they need to figure some shit out to get back on top. And I'm sorry, I don't think the Multiverse Saga is going to be very successful. Sure, Secret Wars, Kang Dynasty probably will make a lot of money just because they're Avengers movies, but I don't think they're going to even come close to Infinity War and Endgame. I don't think they're going to come anywhere near those films. I think they can still make over $1 billion, but I don't think they're going to even come close to Infinity War. And the reason I say that is because most characters in these movies, people don't care about. And that's the problem with Marvel right now. They've expanded their roster too wide that they can't even keep a lid on the whole connectivity thing. Back in the day when Marvel started, you had a set core of characters that you focused and built up, and that's why when they died or you went to the, last two Avengers movies, it was very meaningful because they had been built up through their own trilogies or throughout the Avengers movies in terms of like Black Widow and Hawkeye. But people love the characters because they built them out, they fleshed them out, they did a good job with those characters. And they added some new characters, right? Spider-Man was thrown in, Doctor Strange was thrown in, you know, they threw some new characters, Black Panther. They threw some new characters in, but not enough to the point where it breaks the canon. They were able to tell different stories, introduce new characters, of course, for the future, but at the same time, they were able to still keep the connectivity running between them. They're, like, all the projects were still being overseen by Kevin Feige, and all the projects felt like they were connected to the MCU naturally. The problem with everything post-Endgame, they, you know, of course, Disney Plus happened, and, you know, Marvel decided to put out more content. Kevin Feige doesn't have his hands on all the projects. The writing teams for these projects are bad at writing. So, naturally, with, you know, less Kevin Feige involvement to keep the connectivity between all the movies and make them feel like they're part of the same universe. On top of that, you also have characters that are not being written well enough to the point where they can further explore either characters that we know, like Sam Wilson and Bucky Barnes, or new characters like Kamala Khan. You know, you can't expand the characters you already have because the writing isn't, you know, servicing them enough to push their characters forward. And then you have new characters like Miss Marvel, where, you know, I enjoyed the show personally, but the writing isn't top tier, so it holds them back on their origin. And I think it's a big problem. Because if you're going to make, you know, movies about characters that have been around for decades now, you need to be able to write them in a way that not only people can connect to them and feel for those characters, but that move their already existing plots and character development forward. And for new characters, make us give a shit about them, right? Because not everybody that goes to a Marvel movie is a comic book nerd like myself or other people. So, yes, us comic book nerds already have a connection to most characters that we see on screen, but not everybody does. So you have to be able to find a way to write them where people actually care about them. Kids just watch superhero stuff to watch flashy images and fight scenes. Kids don't really care about plot. They don't really care about that kind of stuff. But when you're talking about, you know, older teenagers and adults, you've got to have those emotional heartstrings. And the problem with the MCU is right now, they just don't have that with a majority of the roster. And the roster is so big that it's hard to develop them. Like, for instance, within Phase 4 alone, you introduced how many new people, right? You introduced Sylvie, you introduced Kamala Khan, you introduced Mark Spector's Moon Knight, you introduced Werewolf by Night, you introduced, oh, who else did we have that's new? Riri Williams, right, in Ironheart. You introduced Proton, or Maria Rambeau, Monica's daughter. You also added in She-Hulk, Kate Bishop, right? Like, the list of characters is expanded a lot since the previous, you know, since the previous, you know, Infinity Saga. You've added a lot of characters. The problem is, when you have so many characters, you have to make not only their introductories, but their follow-ups, right? Let's take the original core cast of the Avengers. Three Thor movies, three Captain America movies, and three Iron Man movies. Okay? Built out those characters so by the time you got to Avengers Infinity War, by the time you got to Avengers Endgame, you were already invested in those three, the core three, very in-depthly. And then with Black Widow and Hawkeye, the Avengers movies, and, you know, the few scenes they both had in the Big Three's movies, developed their characters enough to where you also gave just as much of a shit about them as well. So, with that being said, they had a good formula. They already had characters that were built out and fleshed out over 10 years. The problem with the new characters are you're already a few years in, right, to this, you know, Phase 4, Phase 5 era. And you're going towards Avengers, Kang Dynasty, and Secret Wars. The problem is, these new characters you've introduced have only had like one appearance. They've had one season of a TV show, or one appearance in a movie, like Shang-Chi. Forgot to add him. Sorry. Shang-Chi the Eternals, right? They've only had one movie. How are you going to make enough sequels to flesh those characters out even further by the time you get to the next Avengers movie. Because you can't do it in one season, and you can't do it in one movie. You can't make all these characters likable, enjoyable, and have all these, you know, tremendous connection with the audience through one, like, appearance. So, you gotta flesh them out even further. But the problem with Marvel is right now, they have so many projects down the pipeline of introducing new characters or reintroducing characters, like Daredevil, of course, because a lot of people in the MCU didn't know Daredevil existed on Netflix for a long time. So you have to introduce him to a whole new audience as well. And now you just have a bunch of, like, people not knowing how to feel about these characters. Like, they could die and no one's gonna care. Or with some characters, they're gonna die and people are gonna be cheering, like, She-Hulk, because she's just annoying, you know? So there's a mixture of, like, people don't, you know, feel connected with these new characters, on top of the fact that some of them are just not likable because they're written so badly. A lot of these things are going to play against the future Avengers movies, and this is why I'm saying it's not going to do as well the next two Avengers films compared to the previous two being Endgame and Infinity War, because you have a bunch of characters going forward that nobody really is connected to, or barely connected to, or even likes, for that matter. As to where with the old Avengers movies, you had characters that everybody loved, that they were invested in. Going into the next Avengers movies, what characters do you have that people are invested in? Okay, you got Deadpool. You got Spider-Man. You got Doctor Strange. You can bring back Hawkeye. You can bring back the Hulk. Okay, that's five characters. You got and Thor. Okay, you got six characters. Okay? From old MCU / Fox Universe shit. Okay? You've got that many characters that you can bring forward. Okay, and Sam Wilson and Bucky as well. So you have like seven. Okay. That's plenty to work with, okay? To get people into the theater. Now the question is, what do you do with the rest of that cast? Do you wait and use them in a future Avengers movie down the road? Because here's the thing, you can't throw all those characters on screen and develop them out enough. That's going to be the major problem here, because there are still a good amount of legacy characters, like I said, left over from the Infinity Saga. Like I said, you have Hulk, you have, you know, Sam Wilson, Bucky Barnes, you've got Thor, you've got Doctor Strange, and you got Spider-Man. Like, you've got some left, okay? You still got some characters from the previous MCU, or the golden age of the MCU. But the problem is, now you got all these new characters coming forward, and you have to find a place for them. So either A, you don't use them in the next Avengers movies and just use the established characters for it, or you bring everybody forward and you somehow integrate the new characters that people have less connection with the legacy characters, right? So, with Peter Parker, right, if you we wanted to make a team of younger Avengers, you could have Peter Parker, Kate Bishop, you could throw in Kamala Khan, who else could we throw in there? What other young Avengers did they I think that might be all that they introduced for younger Avengers. So let's say that's like the young Avengers, right? The younger group anyways. You got Spider-Man, Miss Marvel, and you got Kate Bishop, right? Even if there are more, the whole premise is you take a character like Spider-Man that has a trilogy that's been in two Avengers movies and Civil War. He's very, you know, a huge veteran in the MCU. He's been around for a while, right? And you use him as, like, the leader of that little team of characters that are not as accustomed to the Marvel characters that, of course, you know, we know and have been accustomed to for years. And you develop them in that group setting when it comes down to, you know, having them in the movie doing their own thing. Obviously, Peter's doing the leader, and he's the connective tissue you have, and you can, through Peter, you can make Miss Marvel, or you can make Kate Bishop more relatable, more connectable, right, by using the already established character. Then, for, like, other Avenger groups, you could have, like, for instance, Doctor Strange and Shang-Chi would obviously make sense to be in the same group together, because they've already introduced Wong to Shang-Chi. So that's already a through line right there, right? So you can use those two, have them be a part of a team. And then let's say you also throw Hulk on that team as well, because, you know, why not? He has some connections Wong does with the Abomination stuff. Maybe you could even bring back Abomination, put him on a team with the Hulk, and you could have them. Then, of course, you can have Thor with Jane Foster, with whatever they decide to do with her character, because after Thor 4, it's still up in the air. What they're going to do with her. But let's say you have Thor, Jane Foster, And then, of course, you could, well, you'd put She-Hulk on the previous team. And then you could use, like, Captain Marvel, Proton, some of the more cosmic Avengers, and put them on a team together. So that way there is this old connective tissue that can help build out the new characters. But you don't want to go too big, right? Because if you have too many sub-teams, then you're not going to have enough time to flesh out all the characters and have all the action that you want. So there's a lot of challenges, to say the least, that Marvel has. But that's one of the ways I think they could alleviate the new characters not being connected with the audience is by using a already established legacy character to carry the new characters forward and develop them a little bit more through the Avenger films. But that's the only way I could see them really doing that. That or you just throw shit at the wall and hope something sticks. I mean, that's the only other option you really have. It worked well in Infinity War and Endgame for them splitting up teams and stuff, so I don't see why they wouldn't do it here. But overall, Marvel is in a very sketchy spot right now. They're in a very tough situation. And if Marvel does want to get to a place where they can be happy with what they have and be confident with their movies going forward, they're going to need to do a lot of changes. Not only in the writing department, but also planning ahead for the Avengers movies and how you're going to deal with all these new characters. Because I'm sorry to say to you guys, they're not going to be able to get enough sequels out to flesh these characters out further by the time we get to the next Avengers movie. Unless they push it back to past 2030. That's the only way they could do it, is if they take these, Kang Dynasty and Secret Wars, push it back, let's say hypothetically, to like 2032. That's about the only way, you could make enough sequels to flesh out all these characters by the time you get to the next Avengers movie. But it's not gonna be done like that, probably. But we'll see what happens. I mean, they've been delaying a lot of stuff and they're reworking things. Only time's gonna tell. But now that Variety and all these other, sources are coming out saying, yeah, the MCU right now is not doing very well. It's not just me. It's not just me and other people in the YouTube community anymore that or in the podcast community that are talking about how Marvel's in a rough spot. It's just that's how it is in general right now. But thank you very much all for watching. I hope you all enjoyed. And I will catch you all in the next one.